When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
The highly anticipated Brad Holmes press conference yesterday, 4 o'clock. We'll open up the phone lines. We're going to play cuts throughout the show today. We want to know a simple question. Do you feel more or less confident going into this offseason after hearing Brad Holmes address this fan base? Because, John, on the surface, he came out and owned it. He said it was a disappointing season, gave himself an F with Dan Campbell, said it's pass fail. He didn't run away from his own blame in this.
But or the expectation was a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he said their standard is much higher, and this was disappointment, and yeah, the season they failed. But as the press conference went on, when pressed on specifics, it's not like he really gave any ground anywhere. They're going to stay with the same process at pass rush. When asked about being more aggressive, he flipped the question and said, define more aggressive. When asked about the offensive line, he said it's an urgent need. Hey, that's good.
Yeah.
But then deflected to, if only you knew how many phone calls we make and how hard we tried.
Yeah, I was annoyed with him talking for the first 10 minutes about how hard the front office works, how hard Dan Campbell works, how hard he works. Like, to me, that should be understood. Like, I don't need to hear about how hard they're working. I get that. I expect that. And I don't expect it to work any harder, but I do expect there to be some differences in the results of what you're seeing on the roster.
Right. I mean, if you try and fail, you still failed. So it doesn't really make me feel any better to say they made phone calls and tried to work deals, but they didn't get those deals done. And I think a fair question is, should he have offered more? Should he have operated with more urgency? Was his assessment of fair wrong? Because clearly he didn't make the deal because he didn't think, he thought he'd have to give up too much. Well, should he give up more than he's comfortable with? Because maybe his line in the sand is wrong.
Right. And was there a move that they could have made, whether it was at the draft in free agency last year, in trades, whether it was preseason or at the trade deadline, that would have gotten them one more win? That's all you needed. One more win to get into the postseason.
Yeah. And as he put it, then he wouldn't be talking to us right now.
Right. And and it's when I say that out loud, I also think, well, in terms of coming from his perspective, do you want to sacrifice something, a future asset, simply for one more win and you're in, but you're a first round exit.
Yeah, but the pushback would be you're willing to give up those future assets for Giovanni Manu and, right. and multiple assets for a rookie and Isaac Tesla. It's like he's willing to give them up for projects, but he's not willing to give them up for veterans who would help the team win.
Yeah.
Just call it even one more football game. Just get one step closer.
And honestly, I wish there were different follow-up questions to some of his answers when talked about the sense of urgency, when talked about Taylor Decker. Hey, if Decker does retire, like, what is the plan? And not that he's going to tell you, oh, well, we're going to go draft an offensive tackle at number 17. I didn't expect that answer. But is the follow-up question, well, if Decker does retire, are you drafting or acquiring a left tackle, or are you moving Penei Sewell over to left and then you're acquiring a right tackle? Like, you know, what's the plan?
So it's people, these press conferences, they go in these weird directions because one guy will ask a question and then another reporter wants to work a different angle and then you lose the follow-up.
Yeah,
it's you're right. I think there's some more meat on the bone that
or
we didn't
is
get answers.
At least there a discussion of moving Penei Sewell to left if Taylor Decker is not there.
Yeah. Now, look, we should play some of this for people. But again, the question is, do you feel better or worse? More or less confident going into this offseason? It's an important offseason. Let's start, Greg, with the first cut about Brad Holmes saying he didn't do enough this year. See, that's a good answer. That's a good spot. That's not running from anything. That's owning things. That's acknowledging we got some harsh realities and some tough conversations. That's a good start. He was asked about learning lessons from Frank Ragnow. Let's play that for people. But that's kind of a weird way to put it. It's been urgent in the past, but they haven't acted on that urgency. They haven't delivered.
So when I listen to that, it's a little bit of, okay, we're not just going to make a move. I took that more as the trade deadline. And we talked about it's hard to acquire offensive linemen. There weren't a lot available, and good players aren't going to be moved by a lot of their teams because they also know that they've got to be able to build up front. So why get rid of some of your best offensive linemen at the trade deadline? The offensive line is one that has to be addressed throughout the entirety of the offseason. Mm-hmm. It has to be addressed in free agency. It has to be addressed in the draft. And I know that he was asked about Giovanni Manu, and he was asked about both guard positions. And I do think that both guards, Mahogany and Ratledge, will be good players. I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to be great, and if they move Ratledge to center, maybe that's the best move of addressing the center position, but then you have to address the right guard position. I think the best move is going to be to go get a veteran center. Go get somebody that is a veteran that is used to the rigors of an NFL season, that's able to see and recognize blitzes, that's able to move guys off the ball. This offensive line needs that type of personality and type of player at center.
And that may require a considerable spend. So when Brad is asked about aggressive and he says, well, what's aggressive? Aggressive to me is I don't quite get to the Sam Laporta extension because I'm going to use the money right now to make sure I have a starting center. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Aggressive is doing something that maybe outside your comfort zone, maybe takes a little more risk into the equation, but speaks to the urgency that you claim is there. Urgency that doesn't actually get acted upon is hot air. Mm-hmm. So I love that he took accountability, but when pressed on specific areas that he could do differently or, well, no, we're going to keep doing what we did with the defensive end. This is what he said about pass rush. Do you get what I'm saying when he says it wasn't ignored? We tried to get a pass rusher in the draft. It wasn't ignored on the offensive line. You wouldn't believe the phone calls we made. He has built a hell of a team in his mind. That doesn't count. You know what I mean?
Yes. I do know what you mean. And, you know, when you look and you say, okay, well, you know, who was some of the other teams? Well, Houston had a 12 and a 15 sack guy. Mm-hmm. And where are they playing?
Postseason.
In the postseason. So it can be done. But it's also like we all knew he was going to go to the sack numbers. And the number that he didn't talk about is time to pressure.
Like, I think it'd just be a great question to ask him. What do you make of the stat that you guys have the slowest time to pressure in consecutive seasons? And then back away. What does that mean to you? Because how do you twist out of that one? It's not good.
Right.
Clearly speaks to needing to do more. You can't just do the same thing. Do you feel more or less confident? Before we get to the phones and read some of the texts, let me just put it this way. Tone to start was humble pie, wasn't good enough, disappointing, not up to our standards. And when asked, hey, Campbell gave himself an F, what about you? He said, yeah, it's an F. It's pass fail. We failed. We're not playing right now. So that's all good, right? There's not like a delusion of, well, actually, everything I did was awesome. My issue is, John, did he ever articulate how this offseason is going to be different than previous offseasons? Is there any one area where he really owned, hey, I screwed up? It was more general.
Yeah, it was. And I understand that we are at the very early stages of the offseason, but his evaluation should have been going on throughout the entire season so that when you get here, you have a starting point of, yes, we need to address the center position, the offensive line. We've got to address the tackle position. We've got to address it's not just having multiple guys up front with double-digit sack numbers. What are you also getting from your defensive tackles? Because right. you look at Denver, who was by far and away the best team at pressuring the quarterback. They lead by 10, 11 sacks, and they've only got one guy in double digits, and that's Nick Benito.
Good point.
But then you look and you say, well, Jonathan Cooper is a linebacker, 8 sacks. Franklin Myers, defensive end, 7.5 sacks. Zach Allen, 7 sacks. Justin Snard, you got 4.5 sacks. Like you go down the list and there are contributors all across that defensive front. So it's not always about getting pressure from just your edge guys.
But when you say, I'm going to have the same approach at defensive end, and then you say, urgency on the offensive line, but we've been urgent. We haven't ignored it. That doesn't speak to, I haven't done enough and need to rework some of this and maybe get out of my comfort zone and do things a little differently this offseason. None of that was conveyed to us as fans. Let's get to the phones. Let's start with Steve. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Appreciate the show. Just a couple things. I listened to that during Mike Valenti's when they were doing the press conference yesterday. There's something really wrong with this guy, Brad Holmes.
Oh, I thought you meant Mike.
Talk about aggressiveness. He wants to be aggressive. I'll give him aggressive. Jalen Phillips, that's aggressive. This guy really has done nothing. He claims that he failed. Yes, they both failed miserably. And I'm telling you, I'm really sorry that not just for me, but for the other people that paid all this money to go to these Lions games, nobody's listening to the folks that go and cheer this team on. I don't know what this guy's going to do. Listening to him yesterday, and then when you guys play some of these radio clips, this guy's going to be the same place where he was last year. I don't think he's going to make any improvements. In my opinion, gentlemen, I think it's time for him to go because I really think there's something wrong with him. Thank you and have a blessed day.
That's going a bit far.
At no point do I think they should fire him. When he says he hasn't done anything, that's going too far. They've won a few division titles, couple division titles. They've won a couple playoff games. They've drafted fairly well. They have cornerstone pieces here because of Brad Holmes. I don't want him fired. And to be clear, actions are going to matter more than anything he said yesterday at the press conference. But I guess I just wish that he, not that you're going to get specifics, John, but that there was an idea of there are things that we need to change that I'm willing to own that weren't good enough specifically, right?
Yes. Specifically about Jalen Phillips. And I know he was a name at the trade deadline and Howie Roseman went out and got their guy. He finished the year with 5 sacks.
Yeah, look, at no point are you guaranteed anything if you take a swing. At no point does risk guarantee you that you're going to get a great football player. Like, there's a world where Brad Holmes trades for a center who's a turnstile in reality, and it doesn't work out, and he burned the draft pick. But he's willing to burn the draft pick on Manu, so I guess I'd rather see the pursuit. That it's not just phone calls that are happening in the dark, but moves that are actually made on the field. And then we can say, well, now I'm more willing to say you tried. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm more willing to hear you out. Hey, we evaluated, we scouted, we attempted, we took risk. It's not always going to work, but we didn't ignore it. When you say we didn't ignore it, but you also didn't add, then it's hard to take you
right
at that word.
And it does take two. Like, you've got to have,
of course,
a trade partner, somebody that's willing to part with a good player. But if they're not willing to part with the good player from what you're offering, but you need that good player, you may have to overpay a little bit,
yeah,
to get them. And it's just like in when we're talking about the center position. If you want to go out in free agency and get a good player.
A Linderbaum, a McGovern.
Yeah. Okay, so Tyler Linderbaum. Like, right now, the top end of the center market is at, what, $18
million? Yes.
All right. So do you think that Tyler Linderbaum is the same as, what's the center for Chicago, who I think is one of
Dahlman.
The best? Dahlman. All right, he may not be Dahlman, but you're going to have to pay him more than you are paying Dahlman. So what does it take, $20 million to get it done?
Right, and that would be, quote, more than our chart says he should get paid, so we're not going to do it because it would be an overpay and a mistake. Well, then the trade-off is the opportunity cost. Who's your center? You still got to play games next year. You still got to try to get better next season. And you may have to spend a little more than you want, give up a little more than you want, quote, lose the deal. You know, you're the sucker. You gave up more than you should have. But if you don't take those risks at all, you get to watch the playoffs on the couch with us.
Right.
And I don't like that he was doing the press conference yesterday. I want him to do it at the end of February. 248-539-9797. Let's read some of the texts coming in. Guys, everybody works hard. Most of us are at jobs that have a greater impact than wins on Sunday. It's not enough. Says this offseason will be exactly the same as the previous.
I'm not going to say that yet until we see what he does this offseason. If he says he's going to take a hard look and operate differently in regards to, and again, define aggressive. Well, that may be different to us than it is to him, but if he's going to take that hard look, what they did last offseason wasn't enough. So what are you going to do differently? Actions are going to speak a lot louder than words.
One definition of trying is failing with dignity. Sounds like it applies here. Kevin. Guys, working hard and working smart are two different things. Nobody cares how many hours of research you put in if it's not good.
Or if ultimately it doesn't result in anything.
This one says, Travis St. Clair Shores, when someone does a press conference and every other word is he's not prepared for the press conference, let alone these types of answers. That I don't think that's
some
fair.
Some people are better public speakers than others.
This guy says it should be a drinking game how many times he says Now, what I'm not going to do is judge the quality of general manager by does he have any verbal crutches at the podium.
Right.
It says, imagine you tell your boss, sorry I didn't get it done, but can you imagine how hard I tried?
Yes. Pass fail, which also in an F and that situation might mean fired.
It says, I feel worse about the offseason after listening to Brad yesterday. Nothing's going to change. He's still the smartest guy. He'll be looking for a new job in 2 years because he won't fix anything.
Brad Holmes has done a really nice job of pulling the Lions organization from years and years of irrelevance to being a relevant team run by competent people. So to think that in 2 years he's going to be gone, no. If they miss the playoffs the next 2 years, then yeah, I think everything's going to be gone at that point. But this is a team that has a lot of talent, clear flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But now we need to see them address the flaws.
John, are we really asking a GM to lay out a blueprint at a press conference and discuss what they're going to spend? That would make Brad sound desperate. He'd lose leverage. No, I don't think either of us are asking him to have come out and said, here are the players we're targeting, and here's how we're going to get better with every name and every dollar accounted for. What I'm simply saying is you come out and you start with the right tone of not up to our standard, disappointment, failed. Yet, same approach at edge. We've been consistently trying to add to the offensive line. We're going to keep doing that. What do you mean by aggressive? There wasn't, it was disjointed. I would have loved to know what's going to be
because the questions were disjointed.
And that's fair. When you have a media scrum of that many people and everybody's trying to poke at different topics and different talking points. But my point is, I don't think he ever explained how this upcoming offseason is going to be different. And I'm not saying it's got to be here are the players and here are the dollars, but give us a little more to understand. Okay, you understand you failed. Why will this be different? I think that's the biggest money question, and I don't think we got a satisfying or satisfactory response to that.
No, the only time that when he was talking about the center position, and he actually mentioned, we've got to do something, whether it's in free agency, the draft, or trades, like we need to address it. Okay, now you piqued my interest. You talked about a need, and yeah, you've got three different ways that you can address it. I just want to know that they're going to address it in one of those three ways.
We'll play the audio about him declining to commit on being more aggressive. We'll do that coming up next. We got calls to get to. It's 97.1.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
I'm Schefter, ESPN sources. Dolphins fire head coach Mike McDaniel.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting.
Dolphins owner Stephen Ross met with McDaniel this week to discuss the season. After that meeting and reflection, Ross decided to move on. So Mike McDaniel, known as an innovative offensive mind, did some stuff with pre-snap motions that has kind of infiltrated the league. Widely praised for creativity in the run game, et cetera, et cetera. This is a guy who is now looking for a job. Do I suspect he'll land a head coaching position? Yeah, I do. But if he doesn't, and I always do like supply and demand. Ooh, this adds to the supply. And then I think, but it also adds to the demand because an offensive coach is now available. And I go, oh, so now there's two former critically acclaimed offensive minds that are out there, maybe even kind of three. But Mike McDaniel's added to the pool. You've got Kevin Stefanski, who is in the pool. And you've got Brian Daboll, who's in the pool. But all those guys are, there's also seven jobs now available, right?
So yeah. You would, just looking at that, I would think that the three guys you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I imagine that McDaniel's going to get a head coaching gig. I imagine Stefanski gets a head coaching gig and that Daboll does not.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean Daboll can't just absolutely thrive as an offensive coordinator. I'd be interested in McDaniel, absolutely. He's worked under some really, really good head coaches throughout his career. Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak and Denny Green and just a bunch of great coaches. He'd only been a coordinator for 1 year in San Francisco before getting the head coaching gig in Miami. What intrigues me about his time in Miami, his record, he had a winning record, 35-33, but
which is pretty good when you don't have a quarterback.
Boy, there you go. But what he did have were excellent receivers. You know, you had Tyreek Hill before Tyreek Hill got hurt, and Tyreek Hill was a problem when he was in Miami. Devin Achane, the running back, is a problem when he's healthy because the speed is incredible. In those guys, I think you could line up and say, well, Jamison Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs. So if they can get an offense going with those guys in Miami, imagine what you can do here in Detroit when you have even more of those weapons available to you and you have a better quarterback.
So there's a few things here, right? I think you're right. I would expect Stefanski. I would expect McDaniel to be the most likely of the three offensive-minded head coach that just got let go that are kind of on my radar. I would say McDaniel's most likely to get another head coaching job. Stefanski might, Daboll might, but at the end of the day, you know, if you have interest in any of them, call them immediately and say, "Hey, I know you're looking for another head coaching job, but we're your safe landing spot. Come work with Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Jamison Williams. Come here. Your resume will look golden after a year. And you'll probably, what's your quickest way to get back into the head coaching pool? Come take over one of the most potent offenses in the league." And so if none of these guys get their head coaching job, it's back to Detroit. In the meantime, with news breaking this morning that McDaniel is fired, I can't help but think, did Stephen Ross just go, "Wait, John Harbaugh's available? Right. You're out. Coach Harbaugh, we'd like you to come coach our Miami Dolphins."
And I don't know if you make a move this late. And I don't know if it's all that late. I mean, it was it's Thursday after the final.
Yeah, right. What changed between Monday and today? Yeah. Black Monday, as they call it, when coaches get fired, and today. Well, what changed is
John Harbaugh got fired. So I think you can connect dots and say, all right, but do you make that move unless you know that you're going to land him? Or do you stick around for another year?
Right?
Or was it
big
simply
risk?
You could also have a post-mortem meeting after the season, and McDaniel's like, we got to get rid of Tua at all cost. And maybe they're like, well, we can't afford to take that kind of cap hit, and there's a disagreement, or maybe it's the other way. No, I can work with Tua. Let me work with him because he doesn't like Quinn Ewers or whatever the case is. There could have been an argument there. But it does line up literally a day after Harbaugh was released.
Kang, what are your thoughts on this news?
Yeah, that might have been the seventh team from Florida, not Tampa, though. Might have been Miami.
Might have been, Harbaugh. Yeah. How about that?
Pretty close. As far as the Lions is concerned, yeah, I'd be very intrigued with Mike McDaniel. Like, I think he's a kind of hire, too. I think when you hire a hot, young offensive coordinator, I think you always worry about losing him eventually because that's just the way the league is, right? But with McDaniel, I'm not so sure because I think he's actually way more suited to be a coordinator than a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he's learned a lot from his experience in Miami and gets another shot. I don't know. But I think you hire him because I think he can run the offense, number one. And two, I think he sticks around for at least a few years because, like I said, I'm at the point where, you know, I don't want to hire the next Ben Johnson because I don't want to lose the next Ben Johnson in a way. I want the production on the field, don't get me wrong, but I don't have to keep doing this every 2-3 years. I think McDaniel might be one who sticks around. And he can be successful, which can, you know, works well for me selfishly as a Lions fan. You guys have mentioned we have the weapons here. Just focus on the offense. You don't have to worry about, you know, leading men and all that stuff, controlling the entire room, all
right.
That stuff. I think, which I'm not sure he's so good at. So yeah, I'd definitely give him a call.
He's a quirky personality.
He's a young guy, and I think he relates to players well. But I think just stick to offense. You know,
he's
you don't
got
have to
that
lead the room.
He's got that hipster vibe that I think Gator, you would hate.
Oh. Right. I think that honestly, he dresses how I would dress if I was offensive coordinator, head coach in the NFL.
He's wearing sweatpants.
Yep, like,
the ankle socks or the no-show socks.
The sweatpants like rolled up over the knees is such a look. He's got about 35 different pairs of glasses. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah, you can lose the cocaine glasses if you come up to Detroit. I mean, it's not Miami. It's not South Beach, man.
But he is also, he's a guy that's gone through
some... want to keep the cocaine glasses, we're cool with that. Whatever it takes to get Mike McDaniel.
He's gone through some stuff in his personal life, too, and come out better for it. And you root for a guy like that, too. So, I mean, yes, the hipster thing that I'm not thrilled with, but the other stuff. I'm intrigued by him as a coach. I'm not sure if he's a great coach or not. He may be an outstanding coordinator. And like Kang, everything you said, maybe he just can't relate to the players as much as he thinks he can. And maybe he doesn't, if you're as a coordinator, you don't have to. You just, it's just X's and O's, man. And getting your point across and being able to convey that to other players, to the quarterback in particular. I'd love to have him. I don't think he's going to be available to them, but I'd love it.
You think he'll land a head coaching
gig? I think he'll land a head coaching gig.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it yesterday and about how attractive this job must seem to offensive coordinators to build up their resume. In Miami, offensively, they averaged 20 points a game, or bottom third in the NFL. It wasn't working, leaning into his strength. Their yards per game was bottom third in the NFL. This is supposed to be a strength. Didn't necessarily work out. I still would take him in Detroit because I think that was more of a personnel issue than anything there. And I think he would relish a chance, as would any coach who made their name as a coach offensively. I think Detroit, where else would you want to be, man? So Stefanski, Dable, McDaniel, whatever.
If McDaniel were to take a coordinator's job,
yep,
it might be likely that he would go to Washington and work with Dan Quinn because they're like best buds.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that.
I heard their wives don't get along.
No?
I just made that up. I have no idea.
But again, probably a head coach candidate somewhere else.
All right, there it is. Big name available. Doesn't make sense in Detroit. Brad Holmes will speak today. Got a question about that we will get to today at 11:05 here on Carson Anderson on a Thursday on 97.1.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
3 o'clock. Good to have everybody with us. We kind of want to
build off of that football today, because Rico brought up Lions offensive coordinator stuff. So how do you want to, do you want to do this where it's like, what do you want out of the new OC? Because mine is the same. I don't even get to, I don't even care about playbook. I don't even care about offensive idea. I don't want them to be from here.
Well, no, I think that that's fair, because I would just say, what does this next Lions OC have to be? Not just sound like. Don't go out there and win the press conference type of thing. Or, you know, does this OC have to be a Jared Goff maximizer, where you take Jared Goff and, you know what, Jared, we're going to make you the best Jared ever, and we're going to build everything around you? Or is it going to be a quarterback challenger? Hey, Jared, we're going to take you out your comfort zone, and we're going to try to get you to new levels. You want different results? Son, we're going to do different things. Okay, you haven't made it to the Super Bowl yet. What do you want out of your next OC?
I want a guy like a Kellen Moore. When Kellen Moore was taking these jobs, like, yeah, he eventually, you know, he was Dallas's OC, then he goes to the Chargers, then he goes to the Eagles. And now he's the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. I want an outsider.
And he's actually turning around in the world.
Right, but my point is, he went to Philly when they needed a coordinator, and he didn't have some big backlog of history there. Neither did Vic Fangio. And what'd they do? They went and hired two really good coordinators, went out and won the damn Super Bowl. I want the Lions to stop smelling their own farts and hire somebody from outside of the building.
You know what?
Tired.
You know what? Can I add upon that? Because I see where you're going with that. If you bring somebody outside the building, then you got, we're not going to do things that way, the way it's always been done. I'm going to bring in new ways. Well, why did you bring that in? Because it works. But we don't do right. It that way here. Well, too we bad. Will now.
We do now.
Do you want to win? You're going to listen to me? I got the OC job, right? Let's run it this way. Yeah, but that's not how, because I think the biggest temptation that this next OC has to be, and I think we kind of found this out with the last one, with John Morton, you don't have to be a Ben Johnson clone. You don't have to do everything the way Ben Johnson did it, because Ben Johnson is going to be the ultimate, well, that's not how my daddy did it. And don't get treated like a step. Don't treat this guy like a stepdad. Like, let him come in here. Let him do his thing. Let him run his program. Let him run his plays and get this thing going, and quit trying to compare everything to Ben Johnson.
Yeah. And again, like Vic Fangio, I think he was like a consultant for 6 months in like 2020 or something. But they went and got Vic Fangio to be the DC. He had never held a full-time coordinator or high-level position there. Don't give me some retirement analyst thing. The whole idea is they knew they needed help, and they went out and got the best coordinators. Why is it in this town I have to accept, okay, well, you know what? Kelvin Shepard was new last year, so decorative play sheet. I'm fine with Kelvin Shepard, but if there's better out there, go right. Get better.
Did you get better, or did you just hire right. Somebody?
Now, the OC part, I'll be very serious about, because it's clear they're going to keep Kelvin Shepard. That's what it seems like, sounds like, feels like. Then I want a high caliber, beyond reproach, experienced offensive coordinator come in here. I do not want Dan Campbell calling plays, and I don't want Dan Campbell to even have the option of firing an OC midseason next year. I want stability, and I want him to do his job, be the CEO, quality control, and get this team's mental state where it needs to be.
See, another characteristic in 248-539-9797. Another characteristic for me, Mike, I need an OC that can adjust on the fly. When you don't have all your pieces, that's okay.
Dave Warner.
We could adjust.
Sorry.
We could adjust this playbook. Okay, the O-line is down. Okay, we're going to move the pocket. We're going to do whatever we have to do, that we're not going to be so reliant on, well, we don't have our pieces and hashtag injuries. And, you know, if we would have had all everything there, and it would have worked. I don't want to hear that. I need somebody that you can score when things aren't perfect. 248-539-9797, asking you, what do you want the next Lions OC to have? What does he need to bring to the table? Plain and simple.
And if you think I'm mean or unfair, just say why. I do not want any more promote from within nonsense. Don't want
fair.
It.
That is fair, because, yeah, I mean, if anything, it was funny because, you know, when the Eagles – did that, and they broomed them all out and said, yeah, we're going to just bring in some people, fresh thoughts, fresh eyes, sure. Fresh ideas. It's okay to go that route. And the biggest thing for me, I don't need a Ben Johnson clone. I don't need to hear, well, Ben Johnson did this and Ben Johnson, we scored some.
You're never getting another Ben Johnson. So yeah. As much as you hate this man now, and as much as you, I think you got more jollies missing the playoffs and beating him than you would making it. Because I'll tell you, that was a joke. That was a joke.
That's only funny because I think it's true.
No, the players acted that way, and the fan base trying to do some kind of peacocking. It was the weirdest thing in the world. You're never getting a coordinator as good as Ben Johnson. Full stop. It's done. So don't try. Go get the best that's available. I do want things to be a little different because I think you said something that's very important. If you can, if the only functionality of the quarterback is going to be with a top 5-0 line, well, then that calls into question the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I do believe Goff's good enough to win, but this idea of, well, we got to just go back and do what we used to do. Well, you can't. Yeah. You don't have that offensive line. You're going through what Dallas went through. God, Rico, what would you say? 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Like Travis Frederick retired out of nowhere at center. Tyron Smith got old overnight. Mm-hmm. Zach Martin ended up leaving a few years later. They've rebuilt the offensive line. They're not great at pass pro, but they're fabulous run blocking.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's where you're at. So let's get someone with different ideas. And if you don't like that and you want to be insular and they got to be a Lions man, you're welcome to it. I want the opposite. I think NFL teams get way too insular.
Well, here's the other reason why I want somebody outside of the Lions organization, because I do think that teams have caught up on this your game plan. And you saw it at the end of the season with call that running play. Yeah, we're in the backfield. You guys are still running that play? I didn't think this was going to work when coach implemented it in practice, but it actually worked. They just shut down the running attack. Why? Because you didn't give them anything new. So we're going to shut that down. If you can't run the ball, your play action doesn't work, and we don't have to worry about you taking it off down the top because we're just going to bring pressure. We're going to pin our ears back.
248-539-9797. I want to hear from you. And again, you know, I would, if I were running the team, I'd probably blow out both coordinators. I would go out and spend a ton of money, and I would copycat what the Eagles did. I'd go out and hire two big-time coordinators. Because I don't have time for slippage anymore. And no disrespect to anybody. It's not that I think Kelvin Shepard did a terrible job. I don't think he did a great job. And great is the only thing I'm after. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. I'm not paying you to learn on the job.
Did you bring in the best DC?
No.
You brought in a good one. You didn't bring in the best one.
That's my point. So, again, if I am to assume they're keeping Kelvin Shepard, then that puts more of a focus on the OC position, which just heightens what I want, meaning outside influence, outside eyes, outside ideas. It's like hiring a consultant. Sometimes you don't know that your company's rotten until somebody rolls in and tells you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I want. I want someone to walk in with a paintball gun and start making it happen. They need a shakeup.
No, they do. I do. I think the same thing. And yeah, I need somebody who's going to challenge Goff. If Goff's going to be your guy for the next 3-4 years, if you said you're going to restructure his deal, you need somebody who could bring the best out of him. I think Goff got comfortable. And you well, look at all the yards. It was empty calories, folks, okay? They had more yards after the catch than anybody. So, yeah, he had big numbers, but look past that. You had 9 wins. I need somebody that's going to challenge him.
Well, it's more look at they were a schoolyard bully. Yeah, they put up about 40 a game against terrible teams and put up 20 a game against good teams. Go look at the numbers.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking for. That doesn't impress
me. Yeah. All right, we'll get the – no, you're good. We'll get the people in the mix. I like the conversation. And again, I don't think my opinion's really provocative. It's just that's what I want. You see what other teams do. I get tired of the all-in-the-family crap.
Do you feel more confident or less confident in this offseason after hearing Brad Holmes yesterday? I didn't really hear how things are going to be different. I know they want them to be different. He made that very clear. How are things going to be different? Here's Brad Holmes, and then we'll get to the calls. On will they be more aggressive?
Well, there was no action.
So it is a lack of action. And he can say we don't want to reach, and I can respect that position. We hear that from all the general managers in the city. And to an extent, like I get it, you don't want to feel like you're getting the raw end of the deal. But maybe your idea of a reach is wrong,
right? Maybe your assessment of what a fair deal is wrong. Maybe you're lowballing these teams and you should be more aggressive, to use the word in the question, and give up more than you're comfortable with, because the alternative is you get to watch games with us this weekend.
They were not able to address the offensive line as it needed to be addressed. And I understand, yes, hey, rookie right guard, basically a rookie left guard as well, because Mahogany had, what, two games last year and was coming into this with very little experience. Miles Frazier. Like, again, it's you're expecting young players to go in there and play. And yes, there are going to be bumps in the road. The issue is you didn't have a center that could go in there, and no one expected Frank Ragnow 2.0. But you have to have somebody that you can plug in that is going to be able to get the job done. And I love Graham. Graham, you know, 3 years ago, probably would have been a great answer. This year was not.
Right. That's a good way of putting it.
So I think people focused on the wrong things this morning. To me, this is still all about the offensive line. And if they would have addressed the offensive line a couple years ago and started preparing for Ragnow and Decker, addressed it the right way instead of taking guys like Manu and, you know, Mahogany even later. We'll see. Mahogany be a decent player.
Right.
But they could have really put some value in. I just can't get past. Like, I go back to 2022, you know, and you tried to get another edge in Pascal in the second round. And five picks later, Cam Jurgens goes to Howie Roseman. Why is he drafting Cam Jurgens when you got Jason Kelsey?
I think
watered the garden.
But in his mind, and what he said yesterday, is it wasn't ignored. And I guess maybe it's this stupid semantic argument, so I don't want to get caught up in it. But in his mind, it's not ignored because they made phone calls and they attempted. But in our eyes, it's ignored unless it's acted upon in a way that actually delivers results. Anything else is a failure. And anything else, you need to change your process.
And I would even go a year further down the road, 23. We've talked about this. Ennis Rakestraw. We all know going into that draft that you were going to have to address the corner position. Terrion Arnold was supposed to be that. He hasn't been. I was fine with that pick. It's not worked out. But to double down on the corner position versus at that time in the second round going and getting an offensive lineman that was going to be a backup that year but could then step in this year?
Right. And the team that's had the most success in the NFC the last few years, they were willing to invest a second round pick in a future center in the second round. Brad wanted to invest 4th, 5th, and 6th round picks.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I mean, that's why people think we stroke Howie Roseman around here. These are the shrewd moves that are layered way deep. It's not trading for A.J. Brown. It's moves like this that they were ready for Jason Kelsey to retire.
Right.
Right. And you, people will say, and I know he addressed, yeah, hey, we did address it with Mahogany and Frazier later in rounds. Well, Mahogany was forced into duty because there was no one else there. Mahogany ultimately might be that guy that you want as, you know, the guy that's going to back up left and right guard if someone gets hurt. Maybe he's the next Awosika.
Yeah, but also maybe he's a day three pick that never really does turn into a stable presence on the offensive line. That's also a possibility.
Right, but so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not your answer at guard because he should be the backup.
Right, okay. Okay, I get what you're saying. Let's get to the phones. Mike and Standish, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I feel good about it. You know, I think Brad, well, first thing I'll point to is the Mike McDaniel call, right? You know, kind of breaking away from the my guy approach, you know, building with inside. You know, Mike's head coach, well, recently fired head coach and, you know, possible offensive coordinator. I think that just shows, you know, growing outside of what you've already built within. And, you know, to touch on the press conference, I think he was kind of talking about how he's tried to address Decker, you know, leaving or retiring in the past with Manu. I mean, yeah, that project might be a failed project. And then if you look at last year, you know, we were one pick away from getting James Pierce, which I think was their guy, right? But, you know, look at the Falcons. They traded up, you know, 2 first-round picks for the guy. So I like the approach this offseason with already seeing, you know, calling for Mike McDaniel. And I am interested to see, you know, if they get someone like Tyler Lindenbaum and if they can spend a little bit in free agency and not extend everybody and get that buy-in from the players and restructure golf.
Mike, I agree with everything you said. We're going to talk Mike McDaniel a little bit later in the show, but you said if they can pursue a Linderbaum or Holmes was asked, I think it was Burkett that asked him, hey, would you consider spending more in March and delaying some of your extensions because Laporta's off a back and Branch has the Achilles? And Holmes said, but there's other guys that are due extensions too. So that would mean guys like Campbell
or
and
Gibbs.
Yeah. So it sounds like, again, I don't want to read too much into a press conference, but it's all I have to go on, that he's still committed to re-signing his own. Mm-hmm. And if the money's not there in free agency, tough luck. We're not going to change our process. That's kind of the takeaway I got from that.
Then there better be, I mean, then what's the answer at center?
Yeah, well, yeah, I know.
Because I don't really want to go into it with two young guards and a rookie center. Like if that's going to be the way that you go about it, now you can acquire guys through trade, but then who are you going to give up? What are you going to give up? Because you have limited draft capital to give up.
Let's get to Stu in West Bloomfield. Stu, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right, man.
And I just got to say to the naysayers, you got to realize from where the Lions franchise was into where we are now, you got to be a little more patient. Rome wasn't built in a day, and we're kind of like overachieving to where we are.
Well, hold on, Stu. I want to take a quick break on that because when Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell took over, they were out of the playoffs. And 5 years later, we're out of the playoffs.
True. 5 years later, we're out of the playoffs. But, I mean, yeah, every team get injuries, and our center kind of did retire on us last minute. So our offensive line is kind of the reason why we are not in the playoffs this year. I do believe if they had known that Glasgow was going to retire, I think
Rag
they would have addressed the center position. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know what you meant, but Stu, it's all good.
But it's his job to be able to plan ahead. Eventually, Frank was going to retire, and I think we all knew it was imminent, not necessarily next year or last year, but it could have been this year.
I mean, it had been discussed years in the making, and Brad even addressed that yesterday, saying that there were some breadcrumbs. Look, they drafted Tate, and that was going to replace Zeitler, who was another veteran player they lost from last year's offensive line. They didn't have an adequate solution to replace Frank Ragnow. And when you say it wasn't ignored and calls were made, which is some of what he said yesterday, maybe it makes him feel good that he's doing the job, like he's making those calls. He's not sitting, you know, on the couch lounging. Yep. Like I don't doubt that he's got a high work ethic, but ultimately failing while trying is still failing.
Yeah. And it's the essence of that call was it takes time. Well, it's been 5 years. They've been to an NFC championship game. They've had a number one overall seed, and now they're out of the playoffs. So I don't expect it to the trajectory is not always going to be a linear line. There's going to be setbacks, clearly a huge setback this year. So when you learn from what you did right, you learn from what you did wrong. What does that look like this offseason now?
Yeah, and when he says, you know, the naysayers don't understand, well, the naysayers have watched them get further from the Super Bowl 3 straight years.
Yeah.
They're not making this up. Let's get to the phones. Let's get to Mike and Novi. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
All right, first thing I want to revisit is, you guys remember the first press conferences from Brad and Dan when they first got hired? They said that their plan pretty much was to build the championship roster through draft, free agency, and trades. And the biggest thing was they didn't want to fall in love with their own guys, correct?
Yes.
I remember this, yeah.
Okay. Yesterday in the press conference, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, Brad said that their plan since day one was draft and develop and re-sign their own players. Did he contradict himself?
No, I think that's always going to be the nucleus, but it can't be everything. And that's the worry that I have. To your point. I share some of those fears that they're going to do this or try to do this almost exclusively with their own guys. They need to be the bedrock, but they can't be everything.
I'm pretty sure, and maybe I missed something early on where they talked about free agency, but I think their plan has always been draft, develop, resign. I am with you in that that can't be the only way. And I know that they're going to say, hey, well, we went out and got DJ Reader. We went out and got Carlton Davis before that.
Yeah.
There are other bigger moves that you can make. You're going to have to continue to do that. And we want to know what you're going to do in free agency. Is it going to be a center? Or is the center coming in the draft? Or is the center coming with trade? What are you doing with left tackle? I think that's the perfect situation to address in the draft.
Well, and I think some of this, too, is the walls start closing in on you. You were disappointed nobody pushed or asked about managing the salary cap because it's getting harder.
I mean, like that's one of the biggest issues going into the offseason is like, okay, you know, are you going to rework Goff's contract? How does that affect the salary cap? And he's not going to give you numbers.
But he could say it's something we'll look into.
It's something that we have to address.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to have to, because I mean, you probably end up getting an answer that isn't overly specific, but I would hope it would be to the effect of, well, yeah, we're going to have to get creative. We're going to roll some space over. We're going to have to talk to some of our guys about restructures because we still want to be able to attack free agency and improve this football team. But I don't know how much they're going to attack free agency to improve this football team. It's not something they've done. He certainly didn't give the inclination that things are going to be vastly different in that regard.
Right.
It's about keeping my guys, paying my guys. We're not that far away. I'm going to do the same things at edge. We haven't ignored the offensive line. Like a lot of those things are troubling to hear in totality, because it's one thing to say I didn't do a good job, but then to spend the next 35 minutes not offering up how things are going to be different. That's not encouraging.
Right. And you can say that you've addressed things. And I know you can go back to Sorsdahl and you can look at Miles Frazier and you can look at Mahogany and you can look at Manu. Like, okay, you've addressed it, but not in an appropriate manner.
Right. Let's get back to the people. Let's go to Philip in Detroit. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Queen Heather, John, Jim, and Tom. Real quick before I get to my point. When y'all said the other day that Heather was in Real Steel, I was sitting in my truck and I was straight to the daggone movie just so I could see Heather in the daggone
movie. Did you find it?
No, I couldn't watch the whole movie, but I'll pick it up as soon as I get home. I'm going to look for it again.
Right. You know what, Philip? It's interesting you say that because I did that yesterday. I'm like, well, I'm going to go see if I can and find this Real Steel. And the only place I could get it was Amazon Prime, but I had to pay $20 for it. And I'm like,
John, I'm not worth $20. Download it. You'll have it forever. Your kids will love it.
Do you get a residual check from that?
No, of course
yeah,
not.
Yeah,
no.
That's what I figured. So I'm like, yeah, I'll wait for it to come on TV or something.
No, let me get to my point. I apologize. But so my thing is this. I love everything that I love Brad Holmes. I love everything he's done because him and Dan, they have pulled us out of football purgatory. We were in the basement. We were non-relevant. We were the joke and laughing stock of the league. That being said, I'm willing to give him this year to see if there's going to be some differences or some changes or some things that he addresses. But I am of the opinion of this, that Brad Holmes just might be a great drafter, a great scout of talent. And the GM aspect of the job, that might not be his niche. The business aspect of it, the taking the risk and making the deals. And that's not a knock on him. That's not to say, okay, let's fire, let's get rid of this guy.
Right.
I am like John, and I'm like you, Jim. Let's give him a chance to right his wrongs, to correct the mistakes and the oversights that he's made. But I am only willing to give him this season to address this because we cannot prolong the inevitable future of us, reverting back to what we were before they got here, because they've done a great, outstanding job. And this is not a referendum on Dan Campbell. It's more so on Holmes because he's the one that gets the groceries and puts them in the refrigerator. All Dan does is just cook with them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. So, and so, Philip, I think what you're saying as well is, okay, if he's a great drafter, great. He's the one that continues to draft. As he does the self-analysis and he figures out, okay, well, I'm not great at trades, I'm not great at free agency, then you have to hire those around you that are. Yes. And that is their strong suit so that they're a part of the conversation. And we don't expect him to be perfect at every facet of the job. But if you're not perfect at a certain spot, then you hire those around you that can help support you in those roles.
No, and I'll emphasize, this is fixable. Where they are right now is fixable. We can debate how much work needs to be done, but this is fixable. They had a winning record this season. They're going to need to be very targeted in addressing their offensive line. That is the identity of this football team. It will be the biggest jolt they could do. It's not the only thing they need to do, but it's where I would start, and it's where we've spent a lot of time talking. But this is fixable. They could be right back in the division's lead, right back in the postseason, right back hosting playoff games as early as next season, but it needs to be handled appropriately this offseason. Mm-hmm. And our question to you guys is, are you more or less confident after hearing Brad yesterday? It's 97.1.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 to Ticket. We're actually going to audible because there is some... And moderately, it's not breaking news, but it's news we haven't had a chance to give our two cents on, and it happened after our show. And before we, you know, get too deep into it, I want to get your two cents on it. But Kenny, did you think of the TV character you would be if you could be a TV character in real life?
Yeah. So the one for me is from the show. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but from the show New Girl, I would be Nick Miller. The first primary reason is because he's dating Zooey Deschanel, which I've always found very attractive as a lady.
Could be a Property Brother if you want.
What's that?
So he could be one of the Property Brothers. He married her.
Is that right?
That's on HGTV, yes.
Is that one of the Property Brothers?
Jonathan, yeah. Jonathan the carpenter.
Right? Scott.
Yeah, Jonathan Scott's the last name, yeah.
Okay.
Unless he took her last name, he's Jonathan Deschanel.
Right. Scott Deschanel, please. Yeah. That's not bad.
What's the show?
New Girl.
Never heard of it, but I
it was like, what, 15, 20 years ago, 20 years ago?
TV is like a new technology for me right now. So
that's an interesting one about it. Picking a character that you just want to hook, be the husband of the boyfriend of the girl.
Also, I feel like I'm not that far away removed from him as a guy. So I feel like it's realistic enough where I could be like, okay, that makes sense.
You know, I keep thinking about this. Other names keep coming to my mind. Charlie Harper.
From?
Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men.
Okay.
I mean, he's a musician. He's rich. Has this amazing house in Malibu on the beach.
Gator keeps picking single guys.
He does. Well, yeah. He's got a bevy of incredibly beautiful women. And then he wants to settle down. And the ones he wants to settle down, you're like, yeah, okay, do it. And, you know, he's an uncle. So even though there's a kid living in the house, it's not his kid. So, yeah. You know, hey, I'm the uncle.
You do the cool stuff.
Do whatever I want to
do.
Right?
I can be
the cool uncle. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
You don't want the responsibility.
No. I don't want the responsibility.
So Gator has been Batman, Vinny Chase, and Charlie Sheen in the...
Charlie Harper.
Yeah. Charlie Harper, yeah.
Funny, but I guess that kind of is predictable.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's not bad.
Okay, look, we were going to get to the Brad Holmes stuff, and we will soon enough, but I wanted to audible here. So the Lions reached out to Mike McDaniel.
No.
How about that, huh? That's kind of awesome.
No, and I think, when we heard that McDaniel was fired yesterday, the first thought in all of our minds was, well, geez, give him a call. I happen to think he'll get a head coaching gig somewhere else.
Yeah.
But yes, absolutely. You got a call, and I was more than pleased when you sent me a text yesterday at like 4 o'clock with the story saying, yeah, Lions have reached out to Mike McDaniel. I mean, already within hours.
Do you know what job he's favored to be the next head coach?
I don't.
None of them.
He's
which
not the favorite.
I found curious. He's not the favorite.
How many people are the favorite for multiple jobs?
Everybody. There's like odds on everybody becoming the. You know, Matt Nagy's on every team's list, but
are you saying he's not on the list for anybody?
No. He's not the favorite for anybody, but you said how many people are on the list like for multiple jobs?
Well, no, like John Harbaugh, for instance. Is he the favorite for several jobs or just one?
No, okay, the favorite. I'm sorry. He's the favorite for the Dolphins job.
The Giants, probably.
No, Stefanski's the favorite for the Giants job. Stefanski's the favorite for the Falcons job. And I guess that's it for Harbaugh. I'll just give you all the favorites and who are the favorites for each job. This is according to our guys over at betonline.ag. John Harbaugh is a favorite for the Dolphins job. Jesse Minter is the favorite for the Ravens job. Defensive coordinator with the Chargers, was the defense coordinator in Michigan. He's done a great job with the Chargers. The Raiders, he did a great job at Michigan. The Raiders' next head coach is Brian Flores, is the favorite to be the coach there, which would be a great DC choice. Giants for Detroit. Giants' favorite for their next head coach is Kevin Stefanski. Falcons' favorite there is Kevin Stefanski. The Browns, the favorite for the next head coach of the Browns is Jim Schwartz.
Yes.
McDaniels is number two. Is number two. Schwartz is 5-2. McDaniels 5-1. Titans' next head coach, the favorite is Matt Nagy. Cardinals' next head coach, the favorite is Vance Joseph. It's interesting. I'll give you the McDaniel odds. He's 20-1 to get the Cardinals job, way down the list. He is 22-1 to get the Titans job, way down the list. He is 5-1 to get the Browns job. He's the second favorite there. He is 16-1 to get the Falcons job, which is about 10th. He is 9-1 to get the Giants job, which is 4th. He is 10-1 to get the Raiders job, which is tied for 5th. He is 9-1 to get the Ravens job, which is tied for 5th. And he's obviously not going to be the Dolphins.
Okay, so for him, there are 7 openings because he's not obviously not going to go back to Miami. But for him, there's 7 openings, and he's in the top 5 in just about every one of those. So with 8 coaches to be hired in this cycle, I still think he's going to get hired in this cycle. I hope he doesn't. I hope that he's like, you know what? Detroit's a great gig. I'll take that one.
So there's a story on CBS Sports of where he's most likely to land, and the only head coaching job that they mention, I believe, is the Foot Commanders. But let me double check that.
Well, Commanders already have a coach.
That's not them. I'm sorry. It's Cleveland. OC. My apologies. It's Cleveland. Yes. It's the OC for Washington. It's the OC for Detroit. It's the OC for Tampa. And it's wherever Robert Saleh gets hired as his OC is what they list as the most likely places he will end up. And this would be an aggressive move. He's done some things conceptually that I have heard that the Lions have talked about. I've heard the previous Michigan offensive coordinators talk about mimicking. And so this is the type of thing here where he's considered pretty innovative. And we've said it a whole bunch. It was funny yesterday. I was listening to ESPN radio and I couldn't hear who said it, but they had an analyst on who said, well, if I were him, I'd take a strong look at Detroit. You're playing with a possible future Hall of Fame quarterback. And I'm like, I haven't even thought of Jared Goff in those terms, but if he is, then the Lions might go back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks and people bitching about him along the way, and leave it to the Lions to be the organization that has back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks and still no Super Bowls. But it's not over yet.
I think for Jared to get to that lofty goal, he's got
probably has to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. But that was the respect. Again, I didn't hear who it was. And so I hate bringing it up without saying who said it, but it wasn't a caller. Like it was an analyst that they had on. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, high praise indeed of Goff. But secondly, this isn't the Rubik's Cube. This isn't the Da Vinci Code. The Detroit job's a great job.
I think it's the best OC job in football right now that's open. I think it is. And if you're an offensive mind like McDaniel, you would absolutely want to do it. Everybody keeps talking. I mean, you know how I feel about Cliff Kingsbury and the fact that his name is being thrown out there as, you know, a head coaching candidate is still beyond me. And, you know, he might be a good OC. I don't even know if Cliff Kingsbury is a good OC. I know he did it well in college. For a little bit, but when he took everything, all of the responsibility, he was terrible. But McDaniel, the one thing that Miami had going for their offenses were really good. So I think they pulled the plug on him too early into Miami, but okay, fair enough. You pulled the plug on him. They're hiring, they got to hire a new GM and a coach. I know there's huge ties with the owner and John Harbaugh, and there's a GM that they want to hire that has ties to John Harbaugh. I think that's why Harbaugh is the odds-on favorite right now. But thank you if it leaves McDaniel out to be taken as an OC. If he doesn't get a head coaching gig, I think it comes down to the Lions and the Commanders, and it's because there's a relationship with the Commanders head coach that would have him there. He and Dan Quinn are like best buds. And well, he credits Dan Quinn to helping him, you know, with his alcohol issues.
The analysis of the Detroit job in CBS Sports is a lot of stuff that's rehashing what we already think and know. But at the end, it says, if there's anyone capable of getting this group back to firing on all cylinders, it would be McDaniel. And I'm like, cool, sign him up. And the other thing about that is, this is, hey, we're going outside for help. Like, it's an acknowledgement that we need a new voice, maybe a new approach here. I mean, it's not like McDaniel's going to come in and start running zone read and a lot of QB run here. He knows what he would be getting into with Jared Goff, but I kind of like them saying, yeah, let's go outside the family, if you will. Damn. And people who've done it the way we've always done it. The offense doesn't need to be revamped, but
no, it doesn't. The offensive line needs to be fixed, and everything else gets fixed once the offensive line gets fixed. I mean, that's the harsh reality. This whole thing is that, yeah, the offense wasn't as good this year and it changed coordinators, but the bottom line is the offensive line was not up to par. Mm-hmm. And if it were, we wouldn't have any of these issues. Like, what could the Lions do as well as they had done in the past? They didn't run the ball in the second half of the season as well as they had in the past. Well, why is that? Because the offensive line wasn't as good.
All right. We again, wanted to audible and get our 2 cents on what was, I think, pretty sizable news yesterday, breaking news that came out after our show that the Lions have reached out, one of the first teams, and they didn't wait.
No, they did not wait.
McDaniel gets fired before lunch, and he gets a call from the Lions before dinner.
Yes.
248-539-9797. How do you feel about that? Additionally, Brad Holmes, we mentioned, took some accountability. You hear what he had to say today at 10:35 on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
All right, we're back. Lively commercial break discussion. So, football. Rico, stay with me. You haven't had a chance to talk Brad Holmes. This guy over here hasn't had a chance. I blabbed about it all yesterday. Why don't we talk takeaways from you two fine pundits?
Okay, here's the takeaway I took from yesterday listening on this show to Brad Holmes. Yeah, it got to the point near the end where it was just a lot of word soup. It was some weird thing about, about players who aren't even playing on this team anymore. And like, what are you doing? And then, you know, he's talking about transactional activities. He's just coming up with different buzzwords and different phrases. I think the thing that really got me was when he was talking about, and it was a quote, it's irresponsible to ask Mono to be ready right now as far as your offensive tackle in case Taylor Decker walks away. And I'm thinking, why did you draft this man if 3 years into the process he's still developing? Maybe you just go ahead and admit we made a mistake on this one and we're going to move on. But to say it's irresponsible, TJ, that's when I'm like, then I don't understand what was the point of taking him and moving up into the draft to get a guy who 3 years later, you're still not ready to play.
Well, two. I mean, he's got 2 years. And I know, talking to Dan, it'll be a third. And I know that, Dan talks quite often about the Bill Parcells philosophy when it comes to development of players. And he always said it's 2 years plus a training camp. So training camp of your third year, we should know exactly what type of player you are, which is why I think they've been patient with Gio, because he's obviously below that. But I think we've also seen them stick true to that when you look at this past training camp with some guys that were going into third year, Hendon Hooker, Broderick Martin, Colby Sorsdahl, guys that you kind of took like, hey, this could be feast or famine. We're going to find out this training camp. All three guys, famine. You look at and you're like, okay, we're not going to hold on to them. Just maybe the fourth year is going to be that year. You can't do that. So I think what Brad was trying to say is we don't expect him. We're not telling Gio as he leaves in these exit interviews, you better come back and be our starting left tackle. I think it's more of you better come back and have a mindset of I'm just going to compete for a spot on this team. And I've been in the same position as a player. I started a couple games first, second year, and then that third year going in, I knew right away. I'm like, I'm either going to earn a starting spot or I might not have a job on this team. And I ended up earning that starting spot, but it wakes you up a little bit. It's a wake up call. And it does when there's a whole, no, but when you know there's, when you stop, but when I'm just speaking to the player, but like a guy like Gio Manu, like, you know that there's a vacancy now, right? there, with that comes urgency, because going into this year, are you training, saying, I'm going to go train to be the best left tackle? You're probably looking at it saying, Decker ain't going anywhere. We got Panay on the other side. Only time I'm going to play is one of these guys get hurt. Now, all of a sudden, you look at it and say, if Taylor does retire, all which right. I think that's still 50-50, but you're looking at that maybe in Geo's mindset saying, if I don't earn that spot, I'm moving back to Canada. I might not have a job, and I think that's what Brad was trying to hint
at. But for Brad to come out and say it would be irresponsible, it sounds like...
I don't think he said that.
No, that's actually the word he said.
He said we're not like vindictive on he's going to be this guy.
Went back and listened. He actually said irresponsible.
To believe that he's the guy right now.
Right.
Yeah, which I don't think that's unfair.
That's not a ringing endorsement. That's what I would love. Hey, you know what? We got Gio, and we're going to work through. We're going to see if he can do that. But to say that is basically cutting it off at his knees right now, saying, don't even think so.
But I think if you're expecting him to be your guy no matter what next year, which they're not doing, which they shouldn't do, because Gio hasn't shown that. He hasn't earned that, and he hasn't proven that he could be a steady player in this league. He has to prove he can be a swing tackle.
And I think that when somebody goes
and
down,
I think that's what Brad
I can
was saying.
Play you at yeah. left or right tackle, right. and you're not going to kill me. Right.
I'll tell you, one of my big takeaways was I don't think Montgomery's going to be back. I mean, that sounded like a farewell speech.
13.
That kind of sounded like a farewell speech. Yes. Where David deserves to be at a place that's going to utilize him. It's like, huh? Like,
yeah. Well,
if it doesn't work out, we hope he's back. But by the way, Brad, you control that.
Why'd you run to sign that contract extension?
Yeah, and that was kind of my big takeaway. And he didn't really get into a deep dive on too many players, which you shouldn't. But I thought it was fair. I thought there was accountability. I thought there was, and we talked about this, anytime you have a season this far below expectations, massive changes are going to happen. Now, when you hear from your GM, I don't think I've ever listened to a GM and come out of it being like, wow, he told us everything we wanted to hear, and rah, rah, man, I feel great. He owned up to his mistakes. He's going to tell us his plan. They don't do that. Because guess what? Everybody else listens to it, too. Hey, we know the Lions are going to be big into this market. Let's leverage them, you know, versus these guys. You're not going to give away those things. But I thought there was appropriate accountability, and I got to look in the mirror. Dan Campbell did the same thing on Monday, and we're going to make some changes. Now, the biggest part is now you got to show it, though.
Let me ask you this question, then, and it's not a setup. I just want to know, as a former player, normally when you hear teams not far away, how many players away are you from being that Super Bowl caliber team?
I don't know if there's a certain amount of players I would put it on.
But if you're probably going to be needing a tackle,
two,
a center.
I'd say two or three.
Okay, tackle, center. Safeties,
guard,
yeah,
guard,
D tackle.
Hold on, another Sorry. Corner.
Just gonna list every position.
No, D tackle. Stop.
True or false? You and I have had this conversation. They need a defensive tackle because I no longer can count on Aleem McNeil. They need another dominator in there.
And on top of that, an edge rusher. So I guess what I say
is... No, they don't. How dare you?
You're not that close. And if you still believe you're that close, you're delusional. Because you're not.
Ooh,
Take a deep look in the mirror,
shots
and you'll see we've regressed every year.
Hire Mike McDaniel as your OC.
All right, but those spots, but I also look at it the way those spots can be filled with guys that can give you good football without being, we got to sign the top, highest paid guys at every position. Like, there's no team on the planet that has Pro Bowlers at every single position.
I didn't say you had to sign every guy, but to
say you need a piece is like not like, hey, we need a stud. No, we need a guy that's going to come give us 20 sacks.
TJ, 2 years ago, you were close. Go get the edge rusher, and that team is probably in the Super Bowl.
Kenny, mommy and daddy are fighting.
What's the biggest difference between 2 years ago, though, when you look at this roster?
I think that the league caught up to you. And then your offensive line fell apart.
Okay, I think there's...
And your entire defensive backfield fell apart.
That you can't control that.
No, you know what I mean? But you're like, saying you're close. It's like, your safeties ain't coming back next year.
Well, we don't know.
Well, I wanted to ask you about...
That scares me, too, because all of a sudden safety might become
the Kirby Joseph thing?
A problem.
That was something... It's not an issue of having a problem with it or not. I was scared by it, is when he commented on Kirby. At no point did he say... Kirby will be back for training camp. He made a weird remark about, well, at least Kirby can just rehab without having to force it and try to get back. And I'm like...
Yeah, like in a five-day span. Like, you know what? Yeah, because season is different. Now you look at it and you say, hey, even if Kirby, you don't put a timeline on it, we need you for OTAs to see how you look in May.
Something,
you don't, but right, but maybe you do. Like, I'm just. But worried. Now you're looking at months, and I am too. And even like Rico, I agree with you. When I don't know when Branch's timeline's going to be.
You know, if he comes back,
I kind of figured like, Branch is probably around Thanksgiving.
But, oh, okay, it's but time out. Yeah, didn't we just live this with Aleem McNeil?
We did,
and his injury is worse.
Well, Aleem was a knee.
No, I'm saying Branch's injury is worse than Aleem's. And Aleem came back and played some of the worst football of his career.
The weird thing about Aleem is I'm not defending him. I think that even he would tell you that he didn't have the type of year that is needed, especially when you sign that contract.
He got outplayed by Roy Lopez.
But the weird thing is, remember that first game that Aleem was back against the Tampa Bucks. Was like, oh my gosh.
He had like three bull rushes. He looked like the Hulk.
He's supposed to get 20 plays just to
Kirby
like.
Joseph
play it, 40. It was like, let's give you 20 just to ease you back in. Oh my gosh, he's so dominant that we can't take him off the field. And right, then after that, it was kind of like.
Joseph, they
and
gave
there was,
Aleem
I know, and there was something, and I'm not putting it all on Aleem. And I think I would even tell you, and he would even tell you, like, yeah, expectations are probably higher from you being that guy, making that money, being the dude. We expect more. There was something else going on there, though, too, where I don't know if you remember his comments from maybe 3-4 weeks ago where it was like, I'm just, man, it's like I feel like I'm trying to play like a linebacker and read all these things and do this, and they're asking me to do that. And you know what I mean? So there was something behind the scenes that was like, dude, just let me go and let me get up the field. Let me penetrate. Let me get in the backfield. Let me just be a bowling ball and just figure it out. Like, I'm going to stop the run on my way to the quarterback. You know what I mean? I'm going to get in the backfield and then I'm going to figure it out. Which the weird part was Aleem didn't even play the last game. But to me, that was the type of scheme they were going with against Chicago.
Including
it was
zone.
Like, get in the backfield, kill the penetration, go. Like, and make them zone. Reroute.
And where was like, that?
It was like one of the best defensive performances yep. they had all year. So I think that, look, that's all going to go hand in hand with looking at the evaluations, the scheme, the players that you have. Okay, hey, listen, I know Kelvin Shepard, I want to stick around the line of scrimmage and ask my guys to eat up double teams so I could free up the linebackers to make plays, my more athletic guys to make plays. But you know what? Maybe I'd have the personnel to go to a Vic Fangio type where it's just get in the backfield. Like we're a Houston type, a D'Amico Ryans, where we're going to blitz you. Cleveland, like they just try to get in the
just
backfield.
Just disrupt everything you all the
disrupt,
time and we'll
disrupt,
figure it
disrupt,
out.
Disrupt, disrupt, disrupt. If you can get in the backfield, that is the number one killer of run games. And I think that's what we saw against Chicago. So hopefully, if Kelvin Shepard's going to continue to be the guy, he looks at that saying, okay, I not the – defense that I want to be in, but the defense that I have to be in because it fits the type of players
by the
that
way
I have.
Before we break, I do want to shout you out for something, because there was a day months ago the three of us sat here and I don't think any of us thought it would play out the way it did, but we were all like, man, we should go out and get Jalen Phillips. Did you see the numbers Jalen Phillips put up since going to Philly?
You
no. were all over it, though.
No, I know. I mean, I know he's a heck of a
Rico,
player.
Do you have those still?
You know what? No, let me try and pull them up. They're ridiculous
TJ,
numbers.
He was one of the five best defensive ends of football.
Yeah.
He was a monster.
I know. And, man, somebody missed an opportunity yesterday with Brad where...
To ask about Tesla.
Well, no, but it was even like, well... Define what would you say?
Oh, I know.
Being aggressive at the trade deadline.
Looks like Woj.
If somebody
drunk.
Just was it Woj?
Yeah, because like, it was like define.
If you just
like,
said, hey, for example, Jalen, you know, Philly gets another top five edge rusher for a third
define
round pick.
Define aggressive, like, Jalen Phillips for the third you gave away to Tesla.
Like maybe you had a chance to do that. Like, but that would be like, okay, I'll give you an example of doing this.
But instead, Woj sat there, and I think he faintly said herbs and spices, right. And then that was
you know,
we were
hey,
screwed.
A couple years ago, San Fran getting aggressive and going to get Chase Young. Hey. This year, Philly getting aggressive and going to get Jalen Phillips. Like, just give examples of that. I would have been intrigued to hear an answer on that. Maybe they were in those conversations. Maybe Miami was like, we don't like you. We think you're an a-hole, and we're not even going to take your first round pick.
One less gin, and he had a shot.
Right.
Do you have it?
I don't have it.
I didn't
right
know it was Woj.
It's okay. It's just the numbers.
No,
the
I know.
Pressures, the TFLs.
And
the
even,
sacks.
You know what? And you crazy. Probably got him for a third because his numbers weren't crazy impressive sacks wise when he was with Miami, but. He was one of the most disruptive pass rushers when he
walked
was
in. You selected a name. We agreed with it. You're a brilliant man. We are going to do the TJ Game Above Matrix. This is exciting. We're going to put this on the wall.
All right. Stop buttering me up. I didn't bring out a name that was like a nobody. I mean,
no, but
Jalen
you selected
Phillips
the
good player.
No, he had right name. Ridiculous numbers.
You selected the right name.
Well, and he was in that defense, too, with those other guys in that defensive line that's just get to the quarterback.
Yeah, we don't need those guys.
Stop the run on your way to the quarterback.
Bob Muhammad had a great year. What else do you want?
He did, and he made himself a lot of money.
And now he's not here anymore.
Yep.
All right, good The Matrix, him. Next, 97.1.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.